Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. I'm Sammy Nisbet, and you're listening to Late in Life Lesbian. Well, the polls are in from last week's podcast. 50% of you voted that I should keep the Facebook friendship with Stan so that I could keep an eye on the crazy. 25% said that I should have a face-to-face conversation with him. And another 25% voted that I should just get rid of the friendship altogether. So for now, I think I'm going to let the friendship hang in virtuality and pop in every now and again on his Facebook wall to see what kind of batshit is going down. This past week has flown by really quickly. Lately, it seems like life is so jam-packed that 1 week seems like 3 months. I can't even believe that the eclipse hype was just this past Monday. I had a kind of great and kooky day trying to look at the sun through some homemade eclipse viewers without going blind. I was with my parents for the day. I have to say we didn't see much of the eclipse, but we did have a few laughs. So this week we're getting ready to send my stepdaughter off to college. I don't think it's really hit my wife yet, but I can tell it's kind of throwing her for a loop. Her baby's all grown up. I remember the first day I met her, when I think she was in about second or third grade, I went over to their house to spend some time with my girlfriend, who's now my wife. But I ended up spending the whole day playing with her daughter. I kind of remember my wife was a little annoyed because she wanted some alone time, but she got over it. But right now I have so many memories flooding into my mind as I think about how much and how quickly she's grown up. I remember when they were little, I used to take them to these ceramics painting classes. And I remember one time I threw all the kids in the car on the spur of the moment and took them to see Green Day on Broadway. I remember watching them eat these giant turkey legs and running from swarms of bees at the Renaissance fairs and going to Coney Island to ride the cyclone and watching her track meets and spending summers at the Jersey Shore where one time we spotted Snooki and the cast on the beach. I remember her Justin Bieber phase and they bought her this huge cardboard cutout of a life-size Justin Bieber, which pretty much scared the crap out of us every time we walked by it. But we blinked and she grew up into this amazing young woman, and now she's going off to college, and we just can't believe it. A couple of weeks ago, I got wrapped up in a TV show that somehow slipped by me. It's called The Fosters. How on earth did I miss this? If you haven't watched it, it's a show on ABC Family, and it's about a lesbian biracial couple who foster and adopt a bunch of kids. I'm only on season 2, and my wife just started watching the first season the other day. But we were saying that in some episodes, it feels as if the producers of the show had a hidden camera in our house because the reality of the show hits home for our families in some ways. I mean, it's all kind of sappy in the end and kind of predictable, but some of the stuff they go through is pretty authentic. If you haven't watched it, give it a shot. It's definitely better than the news, I can say that much. So today I wanted to talk a little bit about forgiveness, or I'm not really sure if that's really the topic I want to talk about, but I don't know if it goes along with that or not, but hear me out. I'm kind of wondering if it's always necessary. I went to a family party yesterday for my godson's baby's first birthday and had sort of an emotionally topsy-turvy kind of day. Here's the thing. My godson is my cousin Linny's son, and I used to worship the ground she walked on when we were younger. She's a year older than me and was always the cool one. And I always followed her around like an awkward little puppy dog. Toward our high school years, I always had the vague feeling that she was making fun of me behind my back, but I put those thoughts out of my head. I don't know. Thing is, she's always had a subtly condescending nature about her, but again, we tend to overlook the negative qualities of the people we idolize. She ended up getting married when we were 17. I think I was 16 at the time, and I was her maid of honor. I actually remember putting sun in my hair. Remember that stuff? I put it in right before our wedding so that I would look cool. Suffice it to say, I had unnaturally bleached orange hair for her wedding, and there is photographic evidence of that. So she had her son, Matt, when she was 20, and I was in college, I think. I think I was a sophomore in college. And I remembered being thrilled beyond belief when she asked me to be Matthew's godmother. Now, Matt's christening was an event and a half. We had traveled hours to attend, and As we were making our way home, we stopped for gas. When my sister went to pay, she realized that her wallet was missing. So we went back to the party to look for it, and it turned out that several other wallets had gone missing. This was at a christening. Then Linny's husband, who she ended up divorcing, he threatened to murder whoever stole the wallets. Linny did divorce that guy and ended up in several crappy relationships, and she ended up exposing Matt to a number of really damaging situations. By the time we were about 30, Linny and I became pregnant around the same time. This would have been her second kid. So we reconnected and talked every day on the phone about our pregnancies. Both of us weren't married to the fathers at the time. When our babies were born, we used to make some trips to see each other and visit the kids and stuff. And Matt, my godson, had come to stay at our house for a weekend. He was this adorable, sweet little boy. And while he was with us, I spent a lot of time with him. I took him out and I bought him the Chronicles of Narnia, which he still has to this day, and he tells me about it all the time. So he told me on that weekend so long ago that when he stayed with us, that he hated living with his new stepfather. He said that his stepfather never wanted him around, and he would always send him into the woods behind their house to rake leaves for hours on end just to get rid of him. Another one of Linny's exes used to lock Maddie in a basement closet when he was little. I was devastated and completely helpless hearing this come out of this sweet little boy's mouth. Fortunately, though, I guess, a couple of years later, my aunt, who is a saint and a half, ended up adopting Matt, and she pretty much raised him. Now, I know I'm bouncing all over the place, but I remember when I was getting married, Linny and I were both pregnant again. Talk about dysfunction, right? But we were both pregnant again, and we had been talking on the phone a lot again. And I remember the day before my wedding, I was talking with her to make sure that she had directions to the church. So my wedding day rolls around, and my aunt and uncle and my cousin Francis, Linny's brother, and Matt showed up, but Linny and her husband never showed. My aunt said that Lynn's husband had a work emergency or something and that they couldn't make it. Fair enough. But Matt ended up telling me later on that day that they were a few miles away at a Giants game. So needless to say, I was pretty pissed. Linny's brother, Francis, was married a little after I had my second son and Linny had her first daughter. And I did go to the wedding, but I didn't really speak to Linny at all. I was pissed and I was still hurt, like that little puppy dog on some level. Anyway, a couple of years later, Linny became pregnant again with her fourth child. Somehow I ended up talking to her again, and oddly enough, she asked me to be the godmother to this child. Linny then found out that there were some complications with her pregnancy during the first trimester, and she was advised by her doctors to terminate the pregnancy. But she ended up keeping the baby, and sadly, the baby was born with severe spina bifida and many, many neurological issues. And genuinely, my heart broke for them. And as time went on, it seemed that Linny must have forgotten that she asked me to be the godmother, and she asked someone else. It was odd, but I wasn't fazed by it in the least. She had just tons of issues to contend with, and that wasn't really a big deal. I just really did feel bad for her. But on to a couple of things. I wasn't the only one who worshipped Linny. My brother and she were very close. He used to go up to their house when he was in his mid-20s for weeks at a time, and I'm sure that he poured his heart out to them about his struggles with his sexuality and things like that. I'm not going to get into it here, but I know that he confided in her with a lot of things, and I know for a fact that she broke his confidence. About 11 years ago, when I was struggling with my own sexuality, I was in a really bad place. My ex-husband had become abusive when I told him about myself, and I just, at the time, didn't know which end was up. So I was still talking to Linny at the time, and I told her what happened, and right after I told her, from her end, there was radio silence. She literally stopped answering my calls, my emails, my texts, and this was when I was at one of the most desperate points in my life. About a year or so later, my brother passed away, and again, silence. She didn't show up for the funeral, not a card, not a phone call. Now, a couple of years later, I went to my cousin Francis's baby's christening, and I sat with Matt. Linny never showed up. Matt was a grown man by then. He told me that he hadn't seen his mother in years. He said that he'd attempt to go visit them, and they just would never answer the door. It was devastating to hear, but I told him stories about his mom when we were younger and how much I worshipped her, and I made up some excuses about how some people couldn't cope with the curveballs that life sometimes throws them, but she loved him very much. I don't know if I said the right things, but he seemed to feel a lot better after we talked. Here's another nugget. My cousin Marie, who is my age, passed away a couple of years ago. Marie was like a sister to me. She even lived with us for a while when my kids were younger. Marie, who was much like my brother and me, used to really look up to Linny, but she was also snubbed by her. And then when Marie died unexpectedly, Linny wrote this message on Marie's Facebook wall, something to the effect of, "I'm so heartbroken to have lost my cousin Marie." Naturally, I couldn't help but write a subtle, snarky comment. So I wrote, "Yeah, Marie was so lucky to have such a wonderful family who cared so deeply about her. Even though Linny and I weren't Facebook friends, she blocked me. C'est la vie." So 2 years ago, Maddie got married. I brought my wife, my stepdaughter, and my youngest son. The two older boys were away and couldn't make it. Nobody knew if Linny was going to show up at her own son's wedding. Frances, my cousin, said that they hadn't heard from her in a while, even when their mom, who raised them all, had been struggling with cancer. So as the ceremony started, I looked over at the door and Linny walked in with her oldest daughter. Maddie and I were standing by the bar and he literally had tears in his eyes and he said that he was just absolutely thrilled that his mother showed up because all he ever really wanted was for everybody to just get along. I was really, really happy, genuinely happy for him and his wife. I'm not going to lie though, I didn't speak to her at all at the wedding. Our kids danced together all night, but I just couldn't bring myself to talk to her. So last summer, I attended Matt's wife's baby shower, which was absolutely beautiful. And here's another shock. Linny didn't show up. Okay, so if you're still listening, this is present day, people. We went to Matt's baby's first birthday party yesterday. And again, nobody knew if Linny was going to show up. Even more screwed up than that, my aunt, the saint, has been in this rehab facility after some major health issues. She's getting better, but nobody, except my parents, have been to visit her. And it's a 2-hour drive for my parents. We ended up stopping by the rehab facility, and we brought my aunt to the party, which did her a world of good just to get out. Her own husband, my uncle, the scumbag, couldn't even be bothered to swing by to pick her up. He claimed that he wouldn't be able to get her into his brand spanking new Expedition that he bought with her money. We arrived at the party. My aunt was thrilled beyond belief to see her great-grandchild, and I saw Linny's son, Christian. He's her second oldest, and he's only a few months older than my oldest son. But Linny wasn't there. It turns out that Matt had gone to pick him up a few days earlier, and Christian had been visiting him for a few days. So I spent the day, I was walking on the beach with my sister and my niece and nephew and my cousin Francis and his little girl. And he filled us in on the situation with my aunt and how my uncle, the scumbag, has basically cut the kids out of any decision making regarding my aunt. It's a friggin' nightmare. When we got back from the beach, I started talking with Christian again back at the party. The kid is absolutely amazing. He's got the same personality as Matt, very sweet, very sincere. Christian just graduated from high school, and when he heard that I was a teacher, his face just lit up because he wants to be a teacher as well. So we talked all afternoon, and I told him about my teaching experiences, about my own kids going off to college and all that stuff. Problem is he lives out in the boonies. He doesn't have a driver's license, and he's been given zero guidance about going to college. See, my aunt was the one who helped Matt figure out how to get into school, and she supported him. But now she's being holed up in a rehab facility, and nobody's around to help Christian. He said to me that he was really happy that he reconnected with his brother Matt. He said he always felt sad that they were deprived of a relationship. He even made some quiet comment about how weird his mother is. Everything seemed so surreal. Like, what had these kids gone through with this messed up person who was keeping them from one another? So later in the afternoon, I was talking with my cousin Francis's wife, Lena. She was in the middle of telling me about how they were trying to help my aunt and how my uncle, the scumbag, was preventing it all from happening. And we looked down the road and saw a woman walking toward us. And all of a sudden, Lena says, "Holy crap, it's Linny." I literally walked away from Lena and I went and sat in a chair behind my mother. So Linny came over and joined the party. She made the rounds to say hello. I conveniently went to get a bottle of water. Christian came over to me then, and he asked me how we were related. It was all very innocent, and I told him that his mom and I were first cousins, that my dad and her mom were siblings, and he asked how long it had been since we had seen each other. I said, that I thought we saw each other at Matt's wedding, but we really didn't have a chance to spend any time together because it was so busy and there were so many people there. When we sat back down, he looked at his mom and he said, "Mom, did you see Sammy? Did you say hello?" So the two of us kind of just glanced at each other and gave each other an uncomfortable nod. Now, at the end of the party, I went inside and I saw Christian, and I gave him my email and my phone number, and I told him to call me or email me if he ever needed any information about college. And I'm telling you, hugging that kid just made my heart ache. Now, I got home a few hours later, and I texted him to tell him that I meant what I said about college advice, and he texted this back, and I'm going to read it. He said, "It was so nice finally getting to meet all you guys. Thanks so much. You don't know how much it means to me. I know in order to guide people and teach them, I'm going to have to learn a lot myself, and it's good knowing I have an expert on the subject," smiley emoji. "But you guys are so sweet. I can't tell you how happy I am we got to reconnect. I'm one for always keeping family ties, so today was amazing," all capitals, "for me. LOL." There are so many issues to unpack with this situation right now. I've tried to forgive Linny so many times, and you know, yesterday, before I saw her, one of my biggest gripes was that she abandoned me when I reached out to her so many years ago when my marriage and life seemed to be falling apart. And of course, she didn't acknowledge my brother's death. But now that I think of it, how ridiculously naive and selfish was that of me? I've bounced back because I have support. But what about her kids, her amazing kids? And what about my aunt? I woke up this morning thinking about what my wife and I have with our kids and what my sister and my brother and my parents have. We've had our share of heartache and troubled times, but we all stuck together. The kids that my wife and I have are brothers and sisters, whether it's by blood or through marriage. And at the end of the day, we're all there for them, for each other, no matter how complicated or difficult our lives become. Sometimes I find myself trying to make excuses for Linny. Maybe she just doesn't have the mental capacity to deal with difficult situations. Maybe something terrible happened to her that made her this way. I mean, after all, her father is my uncle, the scumbag. But is that just making excuses? A lot of people have been dealt a lousy hand in life and they end up making it. Is there a point in life where you can stop forgiving bad behavior and just be done with people, even if they are blood? But I can't get that kid out of my mind. What's going to happen to him? I know it's not my place, but man, if you could have seen this kid, I know you'd feel the same way. It seems that those kids, despite who their mother is, ended up with my aunt's amazing genes. I don't know what the hell it is with me, but I feel pretty helpless and sad right now. I think I've kind of made up my mind, though. I don't think I need to forgive his mother. Not if she's not going to acknowledge or take any responsibility for all the bedlam that she's caused in everybody else's lives. Maybe I'll put another poll on the website. Should I keep in contact with Christian or should I just butt out? Well, that about wraps it up for today. I hope you guys enjoy the last few days of summer. You can visit the website at lateinlifelesbian.org where you'll find an occasional blog. There's a new contact page if you want to reach out through the website, or you can email me with suggestions or topics at lateinlifelesbian@gmail.com. This is Sammy Nisbet, and you've been listening to Late in Life Lesbian.